In this town, there's no off-season. The news never stops, and neither do we. It's always game day in Cleveland with Andy Baskin and Daryl Ryder.
Browns get their first win of the season. It was on the road in Jacksonville. Started with a 16-play drive, and then it was up and down. Crazy second half where the Browns only scored 5 points, but still came away with that 18-13 win over Jacksonville. He's Daryl Ryder. I'm Andy Baskin. We are brought to you by our good friends at Smiley One and Bryant, Northeast Ohio's premier heating and cooling solution. Daryl, give me your immediate Ryder reaction.
Great start. And for the finish.
Yeah. It's almost like, you know, they get the safety and you feel like the game's over. And
it should have been over.
I turned and I looked and I'm like, wait a minute, they're punting the ball back. I mean, I literally looked away from the TV for like a minute while they were trying to figure out whether they would kick it off a tee or they were going to punt. By the way, if you remember during the preseason, the Browns had a safety in one of those games. And I can't remember, was it Minnesota? That they kicked off a tee and kicked off.
Yep, well, Jacksonville went with the pop up punt that almost was a disaster for the Browns too. So, the third down play, third and six, Deshaun Watson trying to throw the ball. Stupid play call by Kevin Stefanski. I'm assuming Stefanski called a pass play there. Run the ball. Even if you get 0 yards, clock moves. They're getting the ball with less than a minute on the clock instead of about 90 seconds on the clock. Just absolutely terrible football situational awareness there by the Browns. Thank goodness it didn't bite them in the ass and they lose the game. So the game should have been over after the safety, no question about it. But Jacksonville was able to get one last possession. And it was way too many fingernails needed at the end of the game there than actually needed to be. But the bottom line is the Browns won. They're 1-1 now. Jacksonville is 0-2. And Kevin Stefanski is now 20-9 as a head coach following a loss.
That's an interesting one. There are the other ones that are the Browns are now 11-0 against the AFC South. In games that Kevin Stefanski has been the head coach. That's not bad. That's regular season games. Let's make sure we say that.
Deshaun Watson is 7-0 against the Jaguars in his career now.
All right, we'll take that. Listen to all these positive things coming out of our mouth. Team is 15-2 under Kevin Stefanski when not committing a turnover. You want another one? Another little ditty?
Sure, fire away.
The Browns recorded 4 sacks. They did that last time they played against Jacksonville, too. The team is now 13-1 when recording at least 4 sacks under Kevin Stefanski. How about that? We are just a ball of joy compared to last week.
I'm giving it a golf clap because that's what this win deserves. It deserves a golf clap. But it's a win. The only stat that matters is the final score. They had 5 more points than Jacksonville.
All right, let's break it down. That 16-play drive to start the game was impressive.
Well, the entire first half, Andy, was impressive. Not so much on the scoreboard, but just the domination that the Browns had in that first half. I mean, they just basically played keep away from Jacksonville in the first half. Over 20 minutes time of possession for the Browns.
Which is a complete flip on last week.
Right. And there's just under 10 minutes of possession there for Jacksonville. And there were opportunities for the Browns to really put the boots to the Jaguars, and it didn't happen. Still, let's get the negative stuff out of the way first.
Okay.
Still too many penalties.
Listen, my lock in 2 keys and a lock was I was sure the Browns would not have 11 penalties. I was correct. I just thought it would be way less. 100 yards, bro. 13 penalties, flags. 100 yards.
And they, you know, and in the fourth quarter, they had Jerry Jeudy had a 30-yard catch, came right back with a 5-yard grab on the sideline. You're thinking, okay, Brown's going to punch it in here and put this thing to bed. And then Ethan Posick and Dante Foreman first gets called for the offensive face mask. Got the hand caught on the face mask in there, and brought the defender down with
a bite. Great run. And now we know why, though.
Yeah, yep. And then Joel Bitonio and Ethan Posick holding penalties there. So you went from a red zone punch it in situation to third and 36.
And yeah, then, but you know what? We have Corey Bjorkes and nobody else does.
Yeah, that is true. Bjorkes with the coffin corner punt there, hit at the one, bounced out at the two, gave Jacksonville a very long field to work with. And then, of course, Alex Wright came up with the safety there that ended up providing the final score. But, they got to work on situational awareness, closing out games, and they've got to work on cleaning up these penalties. 13 flags, 100 yards, as you mentioned, Andy. Just can't have that stuff. Now, we got the negative stuff out of the way, so we'll put that in a little box and we'll...
Oh, I'm sure something else negative is going to come out.
Let's focus on the good stuff. Myles Garrett, let's playing on the sore foot. He said after the game it's going to continue being a problem for him, but he's going to try not to make a big deal of it. He's going to keep playing through it. Strip sack, second straight week with a strip sack for him. He joined J.J. Watt, is the third fastest player to get at least 90 sacks in his career. He's now at 90.5. And, of course, he is the Browns' all-time sack leader. They didn't start keeping that statistic officially until 1982. Dustin Hopkins, let's give him some love.
Boo, he gets love, yeah.
Another 53-yard field goal. He has made his – I got to knock on wood here because I don't want to jinx him. I jinxed him last year, and I felt terrible for it. He's made 10 straight from beyond 50 yards now.
All right, are we mad at him on that kickoff, though, or no?
No.
I still don't understand it. Maybe I just turned away at the last second. But why was that a penalty? Because he crossed the 50? He
crossed the 50 before the ball
was caught?
Was touched or hit the landing zone or whatever. So that ends up being an illegal formation. Okay, see, you're going to accuse me of bringing up another negative.
No, I just asked you if you were mad at him. That's not negative. Yeah,
You had to bring up the negative that a Dustin Hopkins penalty cost the Browns a turnover on a kickoff. You're not getting away with jamming me up on that one.
That's you, man. That's all you. That's Daryl Ryder's negative view of the world. I just asked you,
bring it up,
based on your past, if you were upset at Dustin about that.
Based on my past.
I'm just being honest with you. I mean, someone's got to steer the ship in the right direction, the positive direction.
All right.
Am I doing commercials for anybody? I'm going to make sure I'm not. All right, so let's talk about a number of other things in this game. I thought it was interesting on that first drive that they went with six offensive linemen, putting Zach Zinter in there.
They did that last week, though.
But it seemed to work this week. It didn't work last week.
Jameis Winston, 3-for-3 on 4th-and-1.
I liked it.
Kept it twice, and then also handed off to Jerome Ford, who ripped off like 36 yards on a sweep. So nice job there. I like it. Trying to think what other good stuff
happened. Oh, I'll give you a good one. Okay. You know, if Dallas can keep losing, if there's a tiebreaker that affects us, then that would be great. Because I got to tell you, my heart cringed when I saw the final score of the Cowboys game. Your Saints with a gigantic win today, 44-19. So I think it goes to show. What?
By the way.
Yeah.
You brought it up.
Here comes the other one. I know the other one you're going. Yep, go ahead.
The Saints, I think it's 91 points in the first 2 weeks. The last two teams to lead the NFL in scoring with 90 plus points won the Super Bowl. The 2009 Saints and like the 1979 Cowboys. I'm not saying. I'm just saying maybe the Saints coming to the Browns traveling to New Orleans on November 17th isn't the bye week that I originally thought it was going to be. Alvin Kamara, 4 tutties for the Saints. Sorry. Okay. I got that out of my
system. I thought you were going down the other street. That's Baker Mayfield being 2-0. Although
they're not gigantic, but
why don't you give them to me, my friend?
Since you had to bring that up, Baker Mayfield now 2-0 with the, win over the Detroit Lions, Tampa Bay. So congratulations to Baker. Started a little bumpy for him, but able to regroup. And after the game, Baker showered his defense with all kinds of love, giving them the credit for the win. But yeah, you got to give Baker some credit there. 20-16 Buccaneers beat those Lions. But man, that 44-19 just looks so good. Saints over the Cowboys.
All right, so what do we expect as we continue on with this post-game edition of the Browns beating the Jaguars 18-13, as the graphic says below you if you're watching on YouTube?
Well, look, I think step four for Deshaun Watson, right? 22 of 34, a buck 86, didn't turn the ball over, scored the only touchdown of the day for Cleveland. That was the touchdown run there in the first half. Trevor Lawrence threw for more yards, but I felt like Deshaun played better. What was encouraging about Deshaun's performance was some of that athleticism that we had talked about last week that was basically non-existent. Got to see that little bit of that comeback.
He was throwing the ball better today. He looked like a guy that was. Kevin didn't want to call it a comeback win. Is that what he didn't want to call it, like a resurgent win, or just
he looked more confident and comfortable out there.
Let's face it. I mean, that's the first time he's really tested his arm was last week. I'm not making excuses, but last week was the first time that he really tested his arm in live action against a team that wanted to throw him into the ground. And they did. Dallas did. That's for sure.
17 times, as a matter of fact.
What do you think about the running attack today for the Browns? Because I thought it was nice to see a diversified running attack as well as a diversified passing attack, because he was able to hit multiple receivers.
Well, think of it this way. They actually had the opportunity to run the football.
True.
Okay? So, you know, that helps. Setting aside the five attempts for Deshaun, Andy, the Browns ran it 24 times in the win. Jerome Ford had 7 carries for 64 yards. Dante Foreman, which I was a little surprised. He got a lot of carries early, especially on that 16-play drive. He was in there, got a lot of carries, 14 times, 42 yards, 125 yards rushing overall for the Browns. Jacksonville, they had 127. But I like what I saw in the ground game. It was effective. It worked. And again, what I liked most, though, short yardage situations they converted.
Trying to think of injuries in this thing, anything that could set them back.
Yeah, well, yeah, there are some injuries that they're going to have to deal with here.
David Bell?
David Bell dislocated his hip.
He's done.
That's not great. Mm. Pierre Strong lost him to a hamstring injury, did not return. MJ Emerson got banged up. Obo Okoronkwo got banged up. DeJuan Jones dealt with some cramps in the heat and humidity, by the way. Mm-hmm. I was critical of him last week for the lack of focus penalties, the pre-snap penalties.
Right,
did a nice job today. Limited the mistakes, and also did a nice job blocking. So, want to be fair and give DeJuan some love, because I felt like he played a much cleaner game against Jacksonville.
You know, you talk about hamstrings, and this might be an unsung story, but Evan Engram, their stud tight end who crushed us last year, got hurt during warmups today.
Yep.
And if you were listening to the Browns pregame show on the Browns Radio Network, you knew that field was a mess today. I don't know that it translated like that on television, but it was a mess.
No, it looked like a cow pasture. And with the rain coming down, they're going to put a roof in a couple of years, Andy. They're going to put a roof over that stadium.
What do you mean? They're going to play football inside? That's a weird concept.
No. It's going to be like SoFi. It's going to be open air.
Oh, okay.
It's one of those I think that stadium might turn into an oven when they put the roof on it.
Oh.
Because
blowing the air conditioners, why would it?
No, it's open air. There's no air conditioning. That's the point. Yeah. They're going to just put a roof on top of it. And I think it's going to turn into an oven. I really do. I think that's a bad idea. They should enclose that stadium if you're going to put a roof on it. I don't think you're going to get the air circulation. Even out at SoFi, when they built that place, air circulation, it's below ground, it's going to keep it cool. People would tell me to go to games in that building all the time and sit in the stands. They tell me that place gets really steaming hot.
Really?
Yes, because the heat gets trapped and the air doesn't move as much as they thought it would. So I think that'll be something to watch for in about, 2024? About 4 or 5 years down the road, that's when that renovation is going to be done there down in Jacksonville. But yeah, it's going to have a roof on top of it. But that field on Sunday, man, it looked like it was a little bit of an adventure.
Yeah, it was a mess. I know we're going to talk more about this throughout the week. Other thoughts you have on this first game, win.
Just sigh of relief. It was a game that I felt the Browns should have wrapped up much sooner. It should not have come down to that in the closing seconds with Trevor Lawrence having the ball in his hands inside the 40-yard line and a chance to make a play to actually win the game and steal it from you. Mm-hmm. It felt like when it got to 16-13, it felt like it was slipping away from the Browns. So I'm also going to go on the other side of the coin. Now that I touched on the negative, I'm going to go to the positive side of the coin and give the Browns the credit. They closed it out. They finished it off. It looked like it was slipping out of their hands. They were about to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory, and they didn't. They hung on. They made just enough plays, and they got it done. So they come home 1-1 now. Everybody can relax. The overreactions from week one, as I wrote in my post-game stuff, rumors of the Browns' demise after getting demolished in week one, highly exaggerated. They are now 1-1. Oh, by the way, guess who's 0-2?
Baltimore Ravens. Yes.
Yes, sirree. They lost because they
although it looked like they were coming back on that last play.
No chance. Vegas kicked the field goal with less than 30 seconds left. I knew they were cooked as soon as I saw that ball go through the uprights. By the way, shame on Baltimore. Ruined the best press box in the NFL. Had the best. It's now up in the corner.
Moved them?
Yeah, the best view press box in the National Football League is officially gone.
Ours is up there, though. We have a pretty good view.
Yeah, but it's
Daryl. Come on. Seriously.
It's
seriously. You know. Stop.
The Ravens press box used to be behind the first deck. Like you were incredibly close to the field.
Really?
Yeah.
They turned those into suites?
It was like sitting courtside in an NBA.
Oh, really?
It's how good it is. But
that's because Art Modell loved the media so much.
So that's gone, and the Ravens are doing what a lot of teams are doing, and that's they put the press box in one of the corners there above the mezzanine. So, but yeah, the Ravens are 0-2. So there you go.
Where is the press box in the Brook Park Dome? Do you know?
I don't know yet. I got to find out. You tell me if I violated media protocol here, Andy.
Uh-oh, did you cheer?
No, didn't cheer.
You took too much candy from the new candy stand.
No, I submitted a request for the dome. I requested more elevator shafts or at least one stairwell from the press box to the service level to be built in the new dome. Because
how did you get in the survey? I didn't get the survey.
No, this wasn't a survey. No, I made the request to Browns team officials. I spoke to them. I said, this stadium sucks because you can never get to the service level easily after a game. There's only two elevators, and one of them gets set aside so that the coaches and other team officials can get down to the locker rooms quickly. It took me four elevator runs before I was able to get on one for the home opener, and it was a reminder that there's no stairwell and there's not enough elevator shafts from the press box. I requested a stairwell or more elevators so we can get downstairs a lot easier in the new dome. Did that violate media protocol from your standpoint? Did I break any rules?
No, not at all. Okay. Daryl, I'm going to leave you with this final thought.
Yes.
You told me earlier this week when you completely dogged me and made me give a prediction when you weren't. Do you remember what my prediction was?
No, I don't. I don't remember what I had for dinner yesterday. So, no, I don't remember what your prediction was. What was your prediction?
Evan, I don't know if you can pop in here or not. Evan is our great producer. I don't know if he's allowed to pop in or if he wants to pop in or if he is even listening because he's probably smart and not paying attention to us. I do believe I said 18-12.
Okay.
So
congratulations.
I said I'm going to come up with an obscure score, and I said 18-12.
Okay.
I'll have Evan fact check that. I may have said 18.
The world of 18-12.
Evan, what do you have?
I'm pretty sure it was 18-12.
Are you going to make a pick for the game or are you going to?
Yeah, I think the Browns bounce back this week, although I'm very concerned about the quarterback. I think they can come back and win. I don't know that it's going to be a pretty game. I'm going to go 18-13 Browns.
Dude.
Forget the most obscure number as I can come up with. Evan, we want to introduce you to the show, too. People haven't seen you. Welcome to the show. We appreciate you.
Yep, no problem.
Do you want to say anything to the good fans of Cleveland?
just keep winning, you know, keep going in the right direction. That's all you got to do. And say, if they play like today, there you go. So
Baskin, what do you want? Like a cookie or something?
No, I want you. Thank you, Evan. You rock.
You finally got one right?
No, I just thought that was a jerk move on your part to make me come up with a prediction when you just scurried out the back door. We would call that a Montana exit when I used to live in the great city of Missoula.
Yeah, you know what I call that? Veteran move.
Yeah. Okay, Captain America, let's call it a day. It's always game day in Cleveland. Thank you, Evan, you rock. Daryl, outstanding. I fake-cued you on the end there. Sorry about that.
You got him.
I gave you the fake out.
By the way, that is a flag. That is a false start on Baskin, which nullifies your prediction.
I just want to hear you say you're sorry, bro. Say you're sorry.
For what?
I'll make you say you're sorry on Wednesday.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, yeah, well, I see how many taters and how you have to buy for other people you work with at work because you lost another bet. So 18-12 is what I said. Of course, 18-13 was the final. Now we're done. We'll see you on Wednesday night or Thursday morning, whenever it drops. Thanks for watching on YouTube and, of course, listening on the Odyssey app. It's always game day in Cleveland.